Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I got the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink?
This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
When you buy a new house, you might say,
shut the front door.
Winning.
No, seriously, shut the front door. We own this house now.
But you actually need to say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. The local State Farm agent is there to help you choose the coverage you need.
Welcome to my crib. No one says that anymore, but I don't care.
So just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
From muddy jungle paths to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder is ready to take you to some of the most phenomenal destinations on Earth. In a Pathfinder, it's more than just the arrival. The real excitement comes from the ride to get there. With 7 drive modes, Pathfinder's available intelligent 4-wheel drive is built for some of the most epic journeys. So chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures in the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Intelligent 4-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Yo, what is going on? And welcome to another episode of the Urban Pitch Podcast, the beautiful game of life, part of the Believe Network. I'm Ramsey Abushala, editor of UrbanPitch.com, co-executive directors of Vibes back in the house. We're back in the home base. We had a little road trip down the street to Tony's studio, Julio Monterosa. Bridget Flores, what's going on, y'all?
What up? We back home.
Back home with a special guest?
Back home with a special guest.
Special guest host this time. We had her as a
and
guest.
And in person.
And in person, yeah, yeah. Well, she was in person last time, too. So
I was here.
Yeah, we had her on as a guest. We interviewed her last time. Now she's on as a guest host. She's going to be giving some perspective, some insight on the NWSL season so far. Jessica Black, yeah. Welcome back.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here. Every time, this is only my second time being here, but it's like, you guys turn on the camera and I'm like, it just feels like we're chit-chatting like friends.
Right.
I love that vibe, guys.
That's the best vibe.
I love
vibe.
That vibe.
That's
so good.
Hear.
I'm like, are we actually recording right now? Because like nobody's
are the cameras
like, sitting
on?
Up all straight.
Right.
I like,
well,
I love it.
Well, I don't know. Are we recording?
Did you press the button, Roy?
Too soon. It just happened last week. It's okay. We'll move on. We all make mistakes. I've made mistakes several
it happens.
Times as well,
we hold each other accountable.
Yeah, that's yeah. So, but that's exactly the vibe that we go for when it comes to this. Sometimes, you know, the guests pick up on it. Sometimes they don't. And by the end of it, I feel like, you know, they feel like it's a conversation, not as much an interview. You know, so
yeah, right.
Back the second time. A little more comfortable, maybe. So we're glad to have you. We're glad to have you back.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here. Let's talk about some NWSL.
Yeah, let's talk NWSL because now is it 4 weeks into the season?
4 weeks. We're going into week 4.
Little break this weekend for the She Believes Cup international break. All around, I think there's some other stuff going on elsewhere. So we thought that it would be a good time. You know, with the break, we're recording this before the weekend. We can just talk about the first 4 weeks because I feel like it's been a flurry. It's been a whirlwind. We didn't really preview the season. We touched on it a little bit. On the site, we had a couple of written articles, but now we get to talk about it because I think there's a lot of expectations going into the season. Obviously, two new expansion teams, new stadiums in Kansas City. The hype, I feel like, was a little bit bigger. What is your guys' thoughts on the start to the year so far in the first 4 weeks? Jessica, kick it
That's,
off.
I mean, NWSL is so back. It's so back, and I feel like it's bigger and better than ever. There's so many good things happening in the NWSL. I think both expansion sides have brought good things. Bay FC and Utah have brought amazing vibes so far, and the viewership is up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can actually really see people in the stands. I mean, some of, like, Bay FC's opener, insane.
Yeah.
Everything looked amazing. I was at the opener for Angel City and Bay FC. It was full. And, you know, the earlier iterations of the Women's League, sometimes stadiums would be almost empty.
Mm-hmm.
So we're making moves. We love the kits. You know, we can talk about that too as well. I think some of the kits actually were really good, and I'm not a big Nike kit person. Sometimes I think they can be a little stale. No offense, Nike, you know.
Do better.
If you need some, want to throw the check, you know.
If you need some help with some designs, call your girl, because sometimes it's a little stale, but you did good on the NWSL kits. And so I think it's been a good start so far. Maybe a better start for some teams than others, you know, so we can talk about all of that. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
Today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. MLB is here and the NBA and NHL playoffs are around the corner. As always, Bet Online is the number one source for your summer sports wagering. Head to Bet Online today to stay updated on all the action, and remember to use our promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, the game starts here.
I was just going to go off of what you were talking about. We were at the home opener for Angel City as well. Great, amazing. Love that this is the third home opener for them, and we've been to all three. Every home opener has been full, has brought all the energy. The fans show up, they show out, and just like the diversity from like every type of fan that you can think of was there, you know, like families out here with their full, you know, kits on, the hats, there's babies, there's newborns, like the family vibe is definitely up there. But just like the energy and the support and the cheering, it feels good. But for me, I was really excited to see Bay FC kick off their first game as an expansion team. I'm not gonna lie, like I'm a big Angel City fan, but I was pretty excited to see Bay FC kick off, just because everything that they did before the season started just felt right. Like they were, you know, marking off all the checks. They did well with learning from what other teams have done in the past and the teams that came before them. So I think that that's going to be a really cool team to see grow and you know, take their journey off to whatever they become. Sucks that Angel City didn't get the dub, but there was a few players. And yet still. But they do have a lot of players that they have new and signed in and that are back from injuries that we're really excited to see, you know, take off their career, and excited for the young ones in general and all of NWSL. I feel like that's one of the biggest things as well.
Yeah, the kids, the kids are making moves. And, you know, back to what you said about Bay FC, I think last time we spoke about it on one of the episodes, you even said something like, yo, I might be a Bay FC fan.
Hey,
like,
I said I might be catching feelings for Bay FC.
Right.
Yeah. I don't blame you, because everybody that's there, obviously, like from the ownership group and everybody that started it, is great. The branding, I feel like, needs to be spoken about, because I have one friend that doesn't like the vibes of like the varsity jacket and stuff, but I think it looks freaking clean.
Yes.
No,
100%. It looks clean. 100%. Yes. Swaggy.
And they made it like really exclusive just for the players.
Right.
So that when they eventually decide to sell some, we're going to all want it.
Yeah.
And it's just everything. Like, I love that they brought in Jen Beatty for like experience. They brought in like Ashwala, who is a superstar.
She's
six-time African Footballer of the Year, is there. Dana.
And she came from Barca.
Yes, she came from Barca. Dana, who, if you don't know, get to know her, the number 10.
Fire.
She is an amazing player and a great person. So they're doing it right. And I'm just hoping that the rivalry starts up between Angel City and Bay, because it's hard to manufacture one. You have to have that bad blood. And like, it's not like I want them fighting, but I want a little fire.
Hype it up, you know? Like NorCal versus SoCal.
Yeah, like
show
I need
that, love.
That. I need that. Yeah. So hopefully that comes over time too.
Yeah, and the LA San Diego rivalry is kind of there, but I feel like San Diego's too nice. Like every time I go to San Diego, it's great. It's a beautiful city. My brother lives there. Like, you know, I go there, not so often, but, you know, I go there, you know, a few times a year, and there's just something off. Like, there's no edge. Like, everything is just so, you know, like,
relax,
chill.
It's like, dude.
Like, what's up, man? You know, like, people are walking around in flip-flops. Like, I need
can't
some
do
edge.
That.
And
no.
the rivalry between LA and San Diego on the field was there, but I feel like LA and Bay, especially with the LA Bay Area, you know, rivalry going like outside of soccer and just in sports in general, like there's a lot more room there to have like some kind of like
for it to be a little bit more like
more
like,
true,
yeah, more fire,
like
in
you know
it.
Like
yeah
animosity,
it needs to come
like,
yeah
you know, like
yeah.
there needs to be some
yeah
some of that,
that's and, true, because I didn't feel any of that in the stadium at the game itself. I feel like if anything, everyone was super welcoming to Bay FC because it was their first game in the league and their first time on the pitch as a whole team. But something I did want to talk about as well for Bay FC was Dana and Oshuala's dynamic. Mm. Oh my God, they are, I'm telling you, like, I don't know, something about just Bay FC and like what they're building is like, it's very eye-catching. And from the varsity jackets to the team, to the players, to the people they're signed, yeah, those varsity jackets are hard. I think they're even better.
Like, I saw some of the fans that were here, and even their fan gear. I was like, that T-shirt with the big
guys,
B on it.
Guys, it's hard.
Like,
it's, and like the old English.
It's good.
Yeah, with the orange, like the orange accents.
Damn, they did
with the
it
navy,
right.
Like, it does look good. And but that is to say, like Angel City, like that, their colors, their color scheme, their merch is on point as well.
Super LA. And that's the thing behind it too. It's like Angel City's design and like what their merch is very LA, and Bay's is very Bay Area.
Agreed 100%. But yeah, you know, you mentioned Oshuala and Dana, and they do have a style of play that you can see that's starting to form. You didn't see it a lot in the first game. I think because it was like just like their first game, but you can see they're building, and they only have 3 points. So it's not like they're running away with it or anything like that, but you can see an identity. I wanted to ask, you know, do you guys feel like you're seeing an identity from Angel City yet, third year in? You know, listen, if I'm gonna be on the pod, we're gonna have some hard conversations, okay?
Right.
We love Angel City, but look, listen, sometimes love comes with a little bit of, you know, are we doing the right things? And so I've spoken to some Angel City fans, and you know, you love the club, there's great players, you have star quality in that side, you have great young talent, but is the style of play coming through? Is the progression there?
I don't want to give them excuses because it's their third year, but I don't know if there's been a lot of continuity, and you know, new coach, a lot of new players. You know, the midfield is kind of almost entirely new midfield this year compared to last year. I think the back line is solid. Back line, I mean, up there with, you know, I mean, the center back pairings, you know, Paige Nielsen, we had on the podcast a couple weeks ago, check that out. Sarah Gordon, also we had on the podcast. that's one of the best center back pairings. And I'm not just saying that because I'm an Angel City fan, because, you know, we had a chance. That first game, I mean, I see Oshuala, one of the best players in the world. Sarah Gordon was right there with her step for step.
Oh, she had her clamps.
And
yeah,
Oshuala, like, scored a goal, but that wasn't Sarah Gordon's fault. It was, you know, bad pass and mistake that, you know, in the final third. But Sarah Gordon had her, like, in her pocket for the most part. And, you know, she ran her down a couple times. There's a couple, you know, like, long balls to her and, you know, running. And I was holding my breath. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you know, angle Sarah. Pursuit from Sarah is crazy. So the back line, I think, even last year, is solid. I really like that. Emma Vignola and Allie Riley, you know. And then hopefully we get to see more Giselle Thompson. Hopefully she comes back from her. She has a leg injury. I don't know how serious that is. It's the midfield and then the forward three that we just haven't ever been able to have any kind of consistent possession with the ball. And that hurts us. Even when we take the lead, we can't hold a lead because we can't hold on to the ball. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, Paige was talking about Becky kind of trying to instill her values and her overall vision for what the team is in the offseason and how it was so competitive. And I think it's going to take some time. There's been flashes of, like, you know, this is a good team. There's a lot of talent. I mean, you know, by all means, it's not a talent issue. I don't think it's a talent issue. I think it's just getting these players to play together under a certain, you know, set of, you know, goals or checklists of, like, this is how we're going to play, this is what we're going to do, because I think that's been the number one. Like, I think you brought that up first, because that's been, like, what is this team?
What's the identity of what we're doing on? Because the identity of Angel City off the pitch is very clear.
Very
clear. We know what Angel City is about: inclusivity, community, all that kind of stuff, fun. The vibes are great. Lots of talent. It's just about, like, putting that all together and seeing it out there on the pitch. We haven't actually seen a lot of Messiah yet. We haven't seen a lot of, if anything, of Rocky. And I think those two players are obviously going to add a lot. And then you have, you know, young players like Kennedy Fuller, who, I mean, at what, 17?
Yeah.
Coming in and playing her first game.
Playing,
I mean,
well done. She started all three matches.
Yeah.
her first like touch on the ball against Bay, I was like, yo, she can play. Yeah, like, she bodied someone off the ball.
She can.
Like, you know, I was like, okay, like, you know, like, let's go. Like, but I mean, to entrust like that amount of minutes to a 17-year-old, there's always going to be ups and downs.
Agreed.
And I think she's shown promise. She's shown her, like, her age as well. But I think Rocky, I think she had a concussion.
Yeah.
So that was tough. Those are always hit and miss with the timetables, but she came back against Kansas City, scored a goal that shouldn't have been called offside, but you know, whatever. but I'm excited to see Rocky especially, and then Masaya, like, we had a conversation about this before we started, like, you got her, she's exciting, mm-hmm. you know, dynamic, mm-hmm. like, striker that can score goals, which is what we need to do, and we've struggled to do that. Why, like, put her in? Like, I get Sydney Releur is a legend. She's, I mean, her contribution to the game, like, we don't have to, you know, question preface it, that.
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
but find a way to either play two strikers or find a, like, a mix to get Masaya more minutes, because that's why we brought her in. She's young, she's dynamic, she's exciting. What she did in Orlando is, you know, I think 9 or 10 goals last year. Like, mm-hmm. you know, as a rookie, like, I'm trying to see more of that. And I think it's a long season. First 3 games were not ideal. You know, 1 point from those 3 games is not, you know, I don't think anyone had that in mind. But I'm going to continue to have some sort of optimism, because this is a historically 2 seasons. slow starting team. And they, you know, even their first year, they won the first match or first few, like, I take that back. They started off really well, and then Christian Press got hurt, and then it all went down the drain. Last year, they got off to a slow start and turned things around. So historically, for 1 year, they're a slow starting team. So
yeah, I agree. Did you want to say something?
No, I was just gonna say with Masaya, same thing. I want to see more of her. I think we should see more of her. And then at the same time, we also can't put too much pressure on and expectations on the young players either. You know what I mean? Like, I think that there is something missing on the pitch. Don't know what it is, but I feel like our veterans have to come up and kind of, like, it's kind of like what Paige was saying last time when we had her. She was talking about how, like, she brings a certain energy and, like, leadership that she knows is necessary and is required for the team. And I think that you see that when she's playing. Like, when we were at the home opener, I was watching her play, and she brought exactly that essence that she was talking about on the podcast. Like, you could tell that's her, that's who she is. Mm-hmm. I feel like if everyone on the team can kind of, like, replicate that in some way, like, or even show up, like, even 50% of what she's doing, I think that can change. I think the dynamic within them as a team on the pitch is something that's struggling. And then, of course, adding in the younger players into that is the other additional, you know, obstacle mm-hmm. that they have to overcome. But like you said, we're only going into 4 games of the season. Things can change. Hopefully they learn from everything that's happening now, so that by midseason, closer to playoffs, things are on a different level.
Yeah, things definitely take time. And so I'm not panicking, mm-hmm. but I am noticing.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I'm right. just like, okay, I'm noticing some things, some patterns, but you have to let players get into their groove and stuff like that. So in Becky we trust. We will, you know, we'll just keep it posted for now. I did want to ask you guys about Portland, though. Alarm bells ringing for them. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. they're a team that historically has done well, has kind of been the standard of the mm-hmm. league. Mm-hmm. They are near the bottom somewhere.
Yeah. I think they only have 1 point.
I think they're one above Angel City.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
They have the same amount of points. They might have a better goal differential or something. Possibly. Because they've only taken 1 point. They've had a tough schedule. I think they played Gotham and then Kansas City as well. So mm-hmm. two of the better teams in the league. But that's a team that's always good. Like, I feel like Portland mm-hmm. is all, I mean, any team with Sophia Smith on it, like, is just
squad.
Automatically dangerous.
Yeah.
I think that's another case of, it's still kind of too early to tell. There was a little bit of shuffling in the off season. So, I mean, obviously losing Crystal Dunn's is a big deal. So I don't know, like, it's
so early that you don't want to put too much mustard on it. I feel like that's what it is. It's like, it's only been 3 games, so do you panic or do you not? You do watch Portland, you're like, okay, there's definitely something different here. Mm-hmm. But you just would imagine that with all the talent that they have, because even though they lost Crystal Dunn, they still have, they replace Rocky with Jesse Fleming, mm-hmm. who is very experienced player, came from Chelsea, right. Canadian international. She shouldn't, no reason to worry there. Sam Coffey, one of the best number sixes yeah. on the planet. You have Moultrie scored there.
Banger of a goal last week.
Exactly. Yeah. Morgan Weaver, Sophia Smith. So you would imagine that they would get it together. But if we get like a couple more games in and they're still not cooking, mm-hmm. we'll have to ask some questions, mm-hmm. right? And you can't always rely upon Sophia.
Yeah.
First two games, it does feel like it's kind of like a little bit of like a kick a turn and let's see what happens. Right. Yeah, we have to see how that one, you know, develops.
I think if anything, rather than relying on Sophia, they have to get to Sophia's level so that they can kind of like optimize and just be able to like execute as the team that everyone knows them for. But if we're talking about Portland and where they're at right now, if we're talking about Angel City and where they're at right now, we also can talk about the teams that are at the top, right?
Let's do it, yeah.
And consider the fact that like just as much as we see some teams fumbling, we also see some teams like picking it up and killing it, like Kansas City,
Chicago. Yeah.
You know?
I think Chicago is surprising to me because that recent years haven't been great. Obviously getting Mal back, that's huge. But I don't think anyone saw this coming into the season. But like we said, with the other two teams, it's the same. It's still early. They got off to a good start. Angel City's going to go to Chicago after the break. So I'm excited to watch that because I feel like that will be a good measuring stick to see what both teams are at. Right. Yeah. To see, you know, okay, this is, you know, Kansas City, Chicago back-to-back, you know, two teams off to hot starts. How can we, you know, retool and adjust and... So I'm excited to see that game. Kansas City to me is also a big surprise. I think Pringan Chiwenga, every time I feel like she touched the ball, it was like I was holding my breath.
Yeah.
Like she ate, like I was saying how strong our backline is. She made them look like they were
baller.
JV, you know, like it was.
Yeah.
She's very super dynamic. She was involved in almost every important play in the game, and bringing someone of that talent, it's like why, like if they can bring her in, like. Why can't we bring players of that, that caliber? So a little bit of jealousy when watching her play because it's like...
She's a great player.
I thought we had a good offseason, but, you know, that's one that slipped under my radar, to be honest. Like, I wasn't okay, this is a player to watch. And now, like, since she made her debut, I was watching that game as well. I think she came on at halftime or she came in later in the game and she automatically turned things around for Kansas City. Them playing in a new stadium also helps. I feel like that's giving them energy.
Yeah, of course. 100%. That gives you vibes for sure.
Can you imagine that you're just like, you're showing up at your stadium, like
built for your team,
a women's soccer team. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And to have so much support back that up and even just like, you know, like not just fans, but like, you know, fans that are celebrities and fans that are like, you know, at the top, like chanting and like cheering you on, wanting you to win. And just even where the stadium is built at, that is such a sick location.
Area.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you hear the freaking boat thing when they score. It's so crazy. It's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Kansas City scored like the most goals. I think they scored 11 goals already this season. They're just exciting to watch, and for them to have finished like second bottom last season, I think to be where they are now. I know it's early, but they look good. Some of their signings have been really fun to watch. Bia, in particular, for me has been very good. She gave Sarah Gordon a tough time, and so did, like you said, Chiwenga. So Kansas City is an interesting one. I think that they're obviously setting the standard, you know, with, like you said, like the new complex that's built specifically for women's athletes in women's sports, which is crazy. Let's see if the vibes even things out or not, you know, once we get further on in the season. But something tells me that Kansas City might stick. Mm-hmm. They have enough quality in that team. Levante's there as well.
Yeah.
DiBernardo. They have so much quality. So well done, Kansas City. You're looking good, girl.
And they brought in like the coaching. Like to me, when they announced like, okay, Vlatko Andonovski is going to come in for you. Coombs is going to come in. It's like, yo, this is like Island of Misfit Toys that they're bringing in, you know, two people coming off of like pretty like highly covered like struggles like from Freya with Angel City and then Vlatko with the obviously the women's national team crashing out in the World Cup. a lot of people, I think, blamed Vlatko for the, and I think a lot of it, like, fell on him. Like, lack of subs, uninspired formations, you know, just a lot of that. But now, coming back, he's had always had a lot of success at the club level, like, even before he was at Kansas City, in their previous, I forget the team name that they had before, not the Spirit, I don't remember, but he was with Kansas City before, and he led them to an NWSL title, so he's had success, and I think maybe it just didn't translate to the national team, there's something that clicked, because that team, compared to the national team, like, it's, like, they're playing exciting soccer, so
I feel like it's just different, though. Like, national team, like, international soccer is so different than club, and so it's just I feel like it was tough for Vlatko. Like, it definitely didn't work out for the U.S. women, but he's a good club coach, and his ideas are getting across quickly, because that's his vibe. Like, that's what he's known for. Yeah. Like, he's known for the club vibe, so yeah, I think he's doing a good job, and I know some people are like, U.S. Women's National Team fans can be incredibly brutal, and sure, they're like, oh, Vlatko's doing this, he's doing that, who cares? But literally, like, you want Kansas City to do well, guys. Like, Kansas City is, like, setting the standard and stuff. If they have a good coach and they're doing well, we want that.
Yeah.
Even though, like, you know, as an Angel City fan, I'm like, Freya, like, so you're good over there. Like, why can't you be good for us? It is what it is. It is what it is. So, like, I'm excited about what Kansas City are doing, and Vlatko, like, good for him. You know, but the She Believes, we have Emma Hayes, like, as our coach. Like, we're fine, guys. Don't worry about what Vlatko's doing. But yeah, is
Emma Hayes debuting at the She Believes? Or
not yet.
This summer, right?
This summer, which is super exciting. Yeah. You couldn't have found, like, probably a better coach at this mm-hmm. moment. Mm-hmm. But you know, she's obvious. I think she is giving her ideas and stuff
it seems
to
like,
Twyla Kilgore like and stuff like that. And I can't wait. Honestly, like, this is a sidebar. The U.S. Women's National Team played Japan at the same time that Arsenal play, and so I'm actually finding it really difficult to figure out what I'm going to do on that day.
It's going
to
be like that SpongeBob meme where, like, both eyes are pointing.
Yes, exactly, because, like, I'm so excited for the U.S. women. I really am, and so, yeah. But that, like, bleeds into the NWSL and stuff, too. Mm-hmm. So, I'm excited. Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of soccer coming, which is good. But then also the struggles of, like, which games to watch, which of them
first
all
world problems. What can I say, first world problems. We're thinking about, like, what games we're gonna choose and not, but yeah, Kansas City up at the top. What about Gotham?
They're like, what, in the middle,
mixed,
right?
Mixed bag so far.
Mid-table.
Yeah. They're like, we won last year, we could chill, you know?
They haven't had their full, like, I think Rose Lavelle has been out, Lynn Williams has been out, Mitch Purse went down. Like, that was,
it's still rough.
I was praying, because when you saw the, like, she knew immediately, like, she went down,
it was crushing.
That was again in the Portland game, I think. And her face, like, it was like almost just like
when she said I'm out, I was like, oh, that's not good, you know, when something bad happens.
Gotham is a team that I was rooting for because
all the signings, right?
Huh? Yeah, all the signings. Yeah, massive signings. You know, bringing in Rose Lavelle, bringing in Tierna Davidson, bringing in Emily Sonnet,
and
after having that
massive
crazy
win.
Run to the the final last year.
And Midge brings the vibe, and she's just like
she's really X factor. She's like someone that can take over a game. Mm-hmm. She's like Sophia Smith level, you know, the individual things that she can do, not a lot of people can do. And you saw that in the championship game last year. She took, like, she had an incredible run that you know ended up contributing to her MVP of that game. But that's going to be a huge loss for them. I think they still have enough talent and enough depth to overcome that. I'm rooting for this team because I want more teams to take that and be like, yo, we should do that. We should be aggressive.
We should
bring in some, like, 3, 4, 5 stars on our team. And the league is still small enough. I mean, we're talking about expansion. Still 12 teams. You can still stack up your roster. I don't know how the salary cap stuff, I don't understand. It's not, like, I almost said, as easy to understand as MLS. Like, MLS is already, like, you know, like, crazy. Like, and this NWSL is a little bit more, they're less transparent with, like, how things work.
How things work, yeah.
I was trying to figure it out and do the math in my head. It's like, if these players are like, how, who's getting paid what? And like, I don't know. So if they can figure it out, if they can do some, you know, creative bookkeeping,
move the numbers.
Then I think the rest of the league, there's no excuse. There's no excuse for the rest of the league to kind of try that too and be more aggressive. Yeah. So
I agree with that. I think that's like a really good point that like you want to see teams almost like, you're like, okay, yeah, we won, and now we're going to make it even tougher for you to beat us. Right. I love what Yael Averbusch did. I thought it was, like, super just different for the league, like, for somebody to be so aggressive with it. And almost like, you guys remember when Miami did the decision back in the day with LeBron James and Bosch? Yeah. And, yeah, it felt like that a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to bring in all these stars and create a super team, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it.
Not two, not three, not five, not six.
and what it does, too, is it's like it makes everybody look at you as a target, as somebody that you want to take down a little bit. And, like, we're doing – like, we're talking about this from, like, a fun sports perspective. Like, you know, I'm not –
the competitive side of things.
Yeah, a competitive side. And so, yeah, I mean, I was definitely like, Gotham, you can't lose a game. You cannot lose a game. If you make a decision like that, you have got to be good from the beginning.
Yeah.
And so we're all watching Gotham. But I think they were saying that, like, I had read something the other day that by
– when you buy a new house – you might say,
shut the front door.
Winning.
No, seriously, shut the front door. We own this house now.
But you actually need to say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. The local State Farm agent is there to help you choose the coverage you need.
Welcome to my crib. No one says that anymore, but I don't care.
So just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
From muddy jungle paths to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder is ready to take you to some of the most phenomenal destinations on Earth. In a Pathfinder, it's more than just the arrival. The real excitement comes from the ride to get there. With 7 drive modes, Pathfinder's available intelligent 4-wheel drive is built for some of the most epic journeys. So chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures in the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Intelligent 4-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time, like the end of 2024, they'll have 16 teams. And so expansion team, or like they're going to expand to 16. Where would you guys want new teams to be located at?
Did
you guys think about that?
I wanted to talk about that because with the She Believes being in Atlanta, a lot of people are like, yo, like, this is the next place we need to have. Because you've seen what Atlanta United has done in a relatively short period of time. They're selling out the Superdome, like, regularly. Not every time, but, like, to the point where, you know, they've had multiple 70,000-plus crowds at that stadium. I think if we can see a sizable crowd this weekend at the She Believes Cup, I think they're bringing – are they bringing the U.S. soccer headquarters to Atlanta? Is that is that right? So that's going to be a thing. Like, I feel like – Atlanta has to be on the list.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's talks about Boston. I mean, and you look at the USL Super League, you have to consider that as well. That, because them coming in at a Division I level, I think is, provides, it's going to make it competitive, but also, like, I feel like NWSL teams are going to be wary about, like, okay, you know, this USL team is here. Are we sure we want to put a team there as well? Mm-hmm. Like, do we think two teams can fit in the same market? Mm-hmm. I think there already are a couple. I think DC, the Capitals, is getting one, and then Brooklyn is getting one as well. So we're gonna see if that works. I would be I would love to see a Boston team as well. Just because I don't know, like,
Boston is like a massive sports city.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right,
so you want that?
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think Atlanta for sure has to be on the list.
What about Philly?
Philly for sure. Philly, yeah. I feel like Philly, another like iconic sports city. You think of sports cities, and insane fans. Like,
that would be so cool.
What about Philly? Vegas? Do you think that has the capacity?
Ooh. Vegas is an interesting one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it has the people, the environment, but...
Yeah, it's not like the for a lot of reasons, because it's very new when it comes to sports cities. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, the Raiders
it's like are starting to grow.
Yeah, the Raiders move there. The A's, Oakland A's, are going to move there for baseball. They Las have Vegas the Aces. The Aces are, you know, doing they're great
things. They run Las Vegas. Let's just let's right. stay, yeah, say yeah. that.
When it comes to soccer, the Vegas Lights always brought has brought in a good crowd. I remember when a friend played out there, when I went to go see him play the stadium, even though it's an old baseball stadium, like the crowd shows up and their fan supporter group, they don't stay quiet all game. Mm-hmm. They're screaming all game. Mm-hmm. They haven't had the best seasons, but there's a quiet soccer hood right there in Vegas that loves their soccer.
Mm. Okay.
And from a youth soccer perspective, there's a lot of, you know, youth soccer like tournaments and club teams out there that are doing some big things too. So I don't know. Vegas is always interesting because I don't think of it as a sports city just because. We didn't grow up with it being a sports city, mm-hmm. but now it is. And
the Raiders are doing their thing. Like, all the teams are doing things. So it'll be a fun environment. Plus, like, as a tourist, you're going to go want to see it because Vegas doesn't do anything small. They do everything big, from creating their own stadiums to, like, knocking out casinos to make more stadiums for whatever sport. So it'll be great. They probably make their second all-woman soccer stadium, and they're not going to go small.
Yeah,
that's true.
What about Miami?
Oh, ping.
I think...
Let's go to Miami.
We were talking about this when we were doing the World Cup venues conversation about where the final should be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, being from LA, like, that was our obvious bias, number one choice. And when it was released that, you know, LA is probably not going to host it for whatever reasons, we talked about, you know, okay, potential. It's going to be Dallas or New Jersey. What is going on? Mm-hmm. Like, you know? And so I think Atlanta and Miami were the two other cities that were like, and maybe, did we say Portland or Seattle? I don't remember, but those are two that came up that were like, yo, like, these are underrated cities. And they ended up getting rewarded. They got semifinal matches, I think, semifinals. And then Miami also got the third place final, or third place match. So those two, like, Miami has a history in soccer even before Inter Miami, before, you know, with Miami Fusion, right?
Tampa, yeah.
And then Miami FC also, they had some crazy stuff I saw going on with them for their US Open Cup game. I saw a couple players were betting on their own game and they got caught.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
You gotta bet on yourself though.
But
I'm
all for the kind of shenanigans and the vibes and the atmosphere that comes with Miami. And I mean, you know,
that could be so fun.
If, like, imagine somehow tying in with the Inter Miami buzz that's going on, whether directly with the club or indirectly by just forming a team there.
It'll be hard though, just because of the massive, like, pool that Inter Miami has with Messi. You have to bring somebody of his caliber in the women's game.
Mateus?
Yeah, to, like, even to have a little shine. Because I feel like that Miami team, because of Messi, Suarez, mm-hmm. like, all those guys, it's just so much, like, people are just...
It's so big, y'all. Yeah. Like, when I was there, I kid you not, as soon as I got off the plane, like, the Messi effect is hard and heavy. Like,
really?
Everywhere I went... A Messi jersey, whether it was Argentina, Barcelona, or the Inter Miami, just Messi is everywhere out there. It's
hard.
Insane. Like, I loved it though, like, because I'm a huge Messi fan. But I feel like Julio brings up a really good point. It's going to be really hard to shy away from that. I feel like everyone's off of a Messi high right now out there that, like, it's unbeatable.
Yeah.
It's unbeatable.
If you're buying Inter Miami games, you can't afford to go any other games anyways. They're so expensive.
Yeah.
Okay, so no Miami.
Maybe not for now. Miami. Not yet. Maybe not yet.
I feel like that, just from a location, it's very soccer. There's a big soccer community in Miami. You know, we've seen a bunch of different events go that way. Mm-hmm. And do really well, and there's a lot of, you know, people playing pickup and all this stuff in Miami. So, but just from, like, a marketing and competition, it'll be difficult, but I think it's possible too, because it's its own separate thing, and I think they can not it could even be a benefit too, because it's like people caring about soccer, and then maybe if Inter Miami can do like a women's team or something like that, you know, they can maybe
Beckham, are you hearing this?
Yeah.
David, are you listening?
Yeah.
Let
women's
him know.
Team.
I know he's in our DMs, so he does pay attention.
We're gonna have
to
hit him up.
Pod,
yeah.
So.
Spice Girl owning the team. I'm for it.
Ooh.
Yes, I love that.
Imagine
I love that.
Crazy.
I have one more hear me out.
Okay.
Just because I love the city and I think that it could do well is maybe Austin. I know that they have the MLS team.
I was literally thinking.
Yeah. I think Austin, it's just such a good vibe. Like, it's like a small, big city at the same time. Mm-hmm. They have people that really care about the sport. They already have the MLS team there. I feel like Austin would be a good place maybe too to put like a women's team. I know that we already have Houston, but Texas is massive.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't like take away from any of that, but like that would be my other like hear me out. Yeah. Like, I think Austin would be cool.
Yeah. That would be a great city. Yeah. Like, cause, like when I went last year to go watch Austin FC play, like, yeah, they have
it's
a,
fun.
It's fun.
It's a great city.
It's a great city.
It's a really fun city.
And there's a lot of great things to do. So, but especially with like where the stadium's at, it's like everybody just focuses on soccer because there's not much to do around there. But like, it's a great soccer city. Like the fans were there early and like, go home. Come back later.
Yeah. And I think what Austin FC has done with, they kind of followed this expansion team blueprint, you know, Atlanta United, LAFC, Nashville, some of these newer teams have kind of put together. Yeah. They had a really good season that helped as well. Their inaugural year, last year not so much, but I think the soccer, it's like one of those cities, like, you know, Portland, I can't think of any other, but like those, like kind of like, you know, like you said, small cities.
Small
with a big
but mighty.
Like, yeah, that have, that aren't like, you know, top five cities that when you might think of when you think of the United States, but if it's like you have a friend from, you know, South America or Europe or Asia or wherever, and they're like, hey, I'm coming to visit the US, what are some cities that I should visit? I think Austin would be one of those, like, you know, on the short list of cities. Like, these are the, like, obviously, you know,
Seattle, Portland,
the big, you want to hit the big ones, but then it's like, okay, if you have time, you got to check out Austin, you got to check out Pacific Northwest, you gotta check out, you know, maybe some stuff in the Midwest too. Like, I feel like it falls into that category of, like, you know, not hidden, but like gems outside of the, you know,
the big
conscious, like the main consciousness.
Yeah, so. Agreed, 110%.
Yeah,
I'm excited for the NWSL to expand. It means that things are going well. I remember reading something about, like, you know, the earlier versions of the NWSL or women's soccer here in America always kind of folded around the fourth year, and so they've gotten to the fourth year and now they're looking to get bigger and better, which is so important for the game here. So I'm gassed. Like, wherever you put the team, put it in Wyoming, I'm coming, I'm there, you know. whatever we got to do, we're here, you know. So I'm excited.
Yeah, and build more stadiums, because that's also
so
exciting.
Cool.
Yeah, it's super dope to see them have their own, like, to dominate their own space, to know that they I was reading the backstory behind the Kansas City team and how, like, they used to, like, change in the parking lot and have to, like, struggle to the extent of, like, not having anywhere to change. It's kind of crazy.
It is.
It's insane. And it doesn't feel good to not have your own home, your own space. So to see them from going to have to change in the parking lot to be changing in the locker that they have, dang. Have you guys seen the lockers, by the way? Like, the...
Yeah, it's the like the tour around the stadium. Like, it's
nice. It's really nice. So shout out to
first
them.
Class. Yeah.
Hopefully that
Kansas
continues.
City. If you guys are watching, if you guys want to get us out there to, like, do a tour or something, like, we wouldn't mind coming and, like, touring and seeing what you guys are about. You know,
have some barbecue. Just,
doing a little TikToks. You know, showing people what they're missing out on.
Yeah.
We wouldn't mind. Maybe that'll be the first stadium we actually go to.
I know, we're like just completely all talk, because
we are not all talk.
No. We are for sure, like, we've been talking
since
like the winter, since like December maybe, of like, you know, we're what are our away days going to be this year as like a team, and we're talking.
And we've gone to.
I haven't even been to
Carson.
I went to San Jose. Going to Portland.
You're on personal vibes.
So you're not all talk.
He's like, no. I mean, he's like, He's like, yeah, I'm going.
No, he goes, but he'll probably remember like maybe
30%.
Hey, I'm having fun. Don't get mad at me because I'm having fun.
20%
I'm enjoying myself.
That's not, that's like, we're talking about of like, you know, experiencing, you know, what, like, just from like a full, like, us three.
As a pod.
Us three as a podcast. And then he goes, all right, yeah, I'm going to this one. I'm going to this one. I'm going to this one. I was like, yo.
We're like, okay.
Hey, Atlanta's coming up. I'm going to be out there.
Yeah.
Planning to go to Seattle.
Memorial Day.
Yeah, more than welcome to follow.
I'm going to be so real. If the next time I see y'all, you and you guys have not been to at least Snapdragon, I'm going, I'm going to fight all of y'all.
No, we're.
Come on, drive down to San Diego. It's like 2 hours away.
Yeah, we can do that. I've been saying that. Take the train there. Take the train back. I'm with that.
Can we talk about that stadium though? Because I've already kind of not badmouth San Diego, but I've mentioned that it's like you're in like a Truman Show type place where it's like, you know, everything is sunshine, everything is like, you know, like it feels fake. Like, and when you go to that stadium, I've been there I think 2 or 3 times now. It's crazy to get in and out of. If you don't take, you have to take the whatever trolley or tram or whatever public transportation to get, because the one time I tried Ubering there, it's like the pickup is right at the front of the stadium and it's like everything bottlenecks, and dude, like it was nuts. Like we had people offering, like I saw people offering, I'll give you $400 right now if you cancel your ride, and the guy, like, it was crazy.
That's intense.
Yeah, it was wild. That stadium too is like, there's a lack of covering on it, and it feels way bigger than it is. I mean, it's pretty big. It's like a 30,000, but it feels like, because maybe it's not a soccer-specific stadium like the Bank is, or even Dignity Health, it just feels so
like
big,
open,
like,
and big.
Massive. And
yeah.
I think it's really nice, and it's cool that they fill out that stadium pretty regularly, but I'm not a huge fan of like the overall like atmosphere at that stadium.
Maybe it's like if you grab Snapdragon and you dropped it into another city that's not as beautiful as San Diego, it probably would be like, you wouldn't like it as much. Because now that you're saying that, I will find any reason to drive down to San Diego and go to Snapdragon.
Yeah.
But it's mostly because San Diego is just beautiful.
You want to go to San Diego.
Fun.
Yeah.
Right.
But maybe it's not that the actual stadium that I'm loving. It's the city that I'm liking.
Yeah, because it's always like, don't get me wrong. I have a great time every time I go to San Diego. It's beautiful. But like their baseball stadium there, Petco Park, is in the middle of the Gaslamp District. It's
beautiful.
It's so cool to like walk and see, like, you're in the middle of the city and there's a stadium there. That one is a little bit out of the way. It just feels different. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Something's off. It's like, it's nice. It's cool. Like, the atmosphere's all right. There's good food options. But there's just something about it. Like, I don't know. Like, even when we're like, when you're there during the day, it's just really hot. So it's hard to find coverage because there's no like
there's
overhang
over it,
which is kind of crazy. But I don't know. There's something about that stadium that, I don't know, it doesn't fully click for me. I mean, I've been to Austin Stadium. Like, I went in, I was like, this place rules.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Austin Stadium is top tier.
Yeah.
It's like in the middle of residential area, which is weird. Like,
right. Like, but that one is in the kind of middle of nowhere too. But like, when you walk into the stadium, it's like, this is nice.
And they got a Topgolf right next to it. Like,
yeah. And you got the Topgolf down the street.
What else do you want?
Yeah. So I don't know. Like, I think, as much as, you know, and I will go there. You know, I think we're probably going to go. I'm actually going to San Diego, not for soccer this weekend, but we'll probably go there for the San Diego Wave game.
Let's plan it out now.
So this is more of like me on a Julio thing, where like, I'm going, y'all can come with me if you want. But yeah, we need to do like a full on trip, because we were talking about Nashville. We were talking about, what was the one that we were supposed to go to? We were like full on sold on it. The player, we had a player on, and he was like, and we're like, yeah, for a book,
Portland.
We're going.
No, Colorado.
I'm still down.
We've got multiple guests.
Yeah, about
Colorado. And so, maybe we can get a Colorado.
You guys should. Okay, so here's the plan. So I'm gonna help you guys out. I'm be your travel agent.
Okay,
so
perfect.
After
let's
we're gonna get a little piece of paper and figure it out.
Yes.
You have to. And then at the end of the season, what we should do is reconvene and kind of like rank the stadiums and like give in like an idea to like the viewers of like what was good, what wasn't. Rank them a little bit, because I'm feeling like now I need to go to more stadiums so I can say which ones I like more.
Right. Okay. You know? I'm going to stop you like right there because you're dropping free game right now, and I don't want anyone else to see this and copy it. So this is a fantastic idea.
Let's talk offline.
Yeah. But no, go ahead. Go ahead and then talk about the different stadiums and all that, because that's, I think, something that's really important and visiting.
Because that's
stadiums.
A part of the game day experience is so fun. And like when you go to different stadiums, obviously you're going to get different vibes. You can talk about like, you know, what's better and what's not. I'm like, now I'm thinking about San Diego and I'm like, you know what? It isn't all that. Right. It's not all that. Yeah. You know?
We are spoiled though. We are spoiled because I went to Portland for the media. I had a media pass and I was like, what the heck is this?
They send you all the way up to the top. Yeah.
That's right. You were telling us. 50
million stairs. And like, they just have like one tray of food and ice creams, no sodas. I'm like,
hey man, this guy, like he, every time we go to the press box, like that's the first thing he goes, yeah, what kind of food they got? Like, because, and then.
I rate you on that.
Which is yeah. not.
I don't blame you.
It's valid. It's 100% valid.
SoFi had it proper.
SoFi had it proper.
They had the little ice cream.
And then the brownie tray where he Taylor Twelman swooped the last brownie for him, and he's that
beef.
That was the last row. Beef. He already had.
That his was takes it.
Are, yeah, his takes are stupid. By the way, his takes are hella stupid. Like mediocre player.
And I took it personal.
Right. He took my brownie.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, I gotta go because I gotta pee on TV. Like, nobody cares, bro. Like, I just want my coffee. Stupid little comb over.
That's a little bit of content that you guys should probably do. Bring in press boxes because some of the places, they are not yet.
Yeah.
This is a story for another day because I'm like, what is this? Yeah. This is not enough. Mm-hmm. What is it? I actually want to say that Snapdragon did not have great food. They gave us like hummus.
In the press box?
In the press box, just hummus. And I was just like, this is
interesting.
It?
Interesting.
Yeah, so.
You would think.
So, yeah, this time I'm going to Portland, better. No press box. Going to straight fan.
Yeah.
Fan.
Yeah,
the
fan unprofessional. Experience. You're on your unprofessional.
Unprofessional, yeah. Like,
business.
No, but like, I hope I don't get in trouble for this, but I had one beer because I was just so over it. And then, literally, I've done it in other stadiums, have a beer with my press pass. But right there, somebody was like, no. I'm like, and luckily my friend was there. I was like, no, it's his. I was just holding it for him.
Dude.
they do not play.
That is so funny. Yeah,
if I speak, I'll get in trouble. So I just won't.
But yeah, don't
do it.
There's
been times where I've had to look at him and be like, what are you doing?
Like,
unprofessional.
No. Like, not that professional. Not unprofessional. Just not that professional.
Not professional.
Semi-professional.
No, but it's because like
taking risks.
No, because you gave me the title of director of vibe, so I have to be with the people. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like I bring that upon myself that I have to make friends everywhere I go and just have a drink with them and enjoy life.
Yeah. I could never.
Yeah.
Bridge is like now it's like strictly. During the match, I have my my suit and tie on. Mm-hmm. After the match is a different story. So
tie comes off.
Right.
Everything comes off.
We did good for the Angel City opener. We said hi to everybody the game.
We did our round. Yeah. We walked around.
But you guys weren't there press like on your
own. No,
no. We were watching the game.
We got tickets. Shout out to John and Gina. They sent us tickets. And then we went. We showed up. We didn't go to our seats, but because we were walking around saying hi to everyone. And everywhere we would go, someone would stop us. And then, obviously, this guy would get recognized, and he would say hi to people.
It was your friends, though.
Like, I know. You're right.
One of our friends was like, hey, are you the beatbox? I'm like, hey, wait up. It's too early for a beatbox, you know?
Yeah. But anyway, Angel City, is always a vibe.
Yeah. And, I mean, I think that's... Something that we also mentioned is the vibes are always there for Angel City, but we're reaching a point now where it's like there needs to be something other than there needs to be steak in the pan, not just sizzle.
Right.
You know? As y'all can tell for the first 20 minutes, I'm not the biggest NWSL fan. Didn't say a word.
I'm glad you said it. I was going to say something.
But like just watching the game that day, I was like, all right, it was just like, it's like pulling your hair worthy because they would like come out the back playing really well. Then you get to the like in front of the goal, and they want to do seven more passes for no reason. I'm
it
like,
it was just the executing. Like they were not finishing. It was so bad.
From a finishing perspective, that's been their weakness, I think.
Oh yeah. My!
Since Kristen Press went down, they haven't had someone that's like a clinical
dominating
finisher.
At that, yeah.
I mean, they have players who can do it. But like I think Claire Emsley is capable of doing it. I think Sydney LaRue is capable of doing it. But it's from a consistency basis, getting served in the boxes right now. All we're doing is running down the wing because we have quick wingers.
The wing. Like
running down the wing, sending a cross in, pinballing is something. We lead the league in corners every single year because we just like try to send something in and like you know, Jesus take the wheel, like whatever, and then the ball will go out and we'll have a corner. Mm-hmm. Sponsored by Cedars-Sinai. It's become a running joke. You know, that's the greatest investment of all time from Cedars-Sinai because we're getting 10, 12 corners a game.
Jeez.
And like maybe two of those will have a threat on.
Yeah.
And I think actually one of the – I think was it Sydney's goal that came off a corner?
Almost like I feel like a lot of our goals come off of set piece opportunities.
Yeah, where it's like something happens and there's like a scrum and you know like boom. And all of a sudden you know somebody sticks like a foot out and the ball goes in,
yeah.
Which is great. And I think we won a lot of games like
that
last year.
But those should be like
year.
The second, third goal,
exactly,
not the first.
Exactly.
I'm trying to see something from open play,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
some bangers. Yeah. Like where are our bangers?
There's no idea.
The
going,
last one was
there's no idea going forward. There's really no idea going forward.
Yeah. Who was the last one? Was it
Junendo had the one in the opening game last year that got called back on some, on
yeah.
some terrible
yeah.
VAR stuff.
Mm-hmm. Alyssa had a good goal.
Alyssa's
her first
goal.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
when she
yeah.
cut inside. And I think she's, I feel like maybe, because we saw it with Kristen Press as well, where it's like they were keying in on Kristen Press and made it very hard for her. And it's like, oh, Kristen isn't scoring goals. But mm-hmm. it's
you
because.
You can't have one player
exactly.
that's kind yeah. of like relied upon. I feel right. like it's. On every line, there's one player that we're like, do it, you know? Yeah. So it's like, it was Kristen for a while. Now it's like Sydney or yeah. Alyssa or whoever. Yeah. Midfield, it's Amandine Henri. Can you cook a meal? It's like, listen, she can't just do it by herself. Mm-hmm. Then mm-hmm. you have Sarah and Paige who like, they're amazing, but my goodness, I know they're tired after the game because mm-hmm. they got a lot of stuff
it's,
to do. Like they really do.
You see them go down. And you're like, oh my god! Like I hope that's
yeah, it can't happen.
The outside backs are
getting
beat
down like five times a game, and it's
yeah.
like
Paige,
can we
no.
please like this is like no disrespect to the center backs that we have. Like if Paige goes out or Sarah goes out, like we're cooked.
We're
like
we're
yeah.
super
you
cooked.
Know?
We're
like
cooked.
Yeah.
And yeah. It's I still want to be optimistic. I don't want to give up, but. From what I've seen so
it's been
far,
three games.
I know.
No, he gives up every year.
He gives up every year.
I told Sarah when we had Sarah Gordon on. I told her, I was like, "Yo, you guys were testing my faith because,
yeah.
like, when we're last year, it took us 10 games to figure it out, and it
shouldn't towards
take
the
you
end,
10, should not
no,
take you 10 matches to figure out what you got going
I'm telling
on."
Telling you, got to put Bay FC on the waiting list because.
No, you can't be ready to jump shit.
Oh, I'm jumping.
I'm not gonna jump. Yeah. I'm not gonna.
Look at me.
The vibes do look good.
Yeah,
over
that jacket kind of looks a
but
little.
But they also
hard.
Only have one game, one win too, and they blew a lead
yeah.
in their home openers.
I need
so
a reason
they got
to go
own
to the
stuff
bay.
Going on.
Yeah,
you know?
they got their stuff going
yeah.
on.
Yeah,
that jacket is hard though.
But yeah, Angel City definitely, you know.
We're rooting for you.
Yeah.
We're optimistic.
We're definitely rooting for you for sure. Yeah.
Mid-season, we're going to be in there. I know it.
Yeah. All right.
We got to go to the Bay again.
Remember
though,
this moment.
Yeah, we're
that
for sure.
Oakland Roots trip we did as a group.
Oh, we went there?
That was our first.
That was before we were talking about going somewhere.
That was before I even joined.
She just came on the trip.
I know. She.
Came. Oh, you did. He was like, I'm just coming.
No, I was invited. Thank you very much.
She was sitting in. She was sitting in and, you know.
No, it's because we had that trip, and then on our way back, this guy lost his voice from that trip. So then I had
Damn,
to I'll
be having
in.
Too much fun. I gotta
was that really? Was
yeah,
that?
Yeah, that was literally
we went,
the reason.
First of all,
we went to the we went to Bay Area. Uh-huh. And
I remember him losing his voice, but
yeah,
was that that?
It was
yeah,
that trip.
Low key, that's kind of trash.
Yeah, that was not a. Yeah, we got home. Okay, I don't want to talk
yeah.
about that. But it was a great trip. It was a lot of fun.
3 in the morning coming back was crazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But anyways, we're running low on time. We went on a million different...
Real quick.
A
couple more things.
Right.
To close things out, what we did with the MLS preview that we did was, you know, one bold prediction. Did you guys have a bold prediction, hot take for the 2024 NWSL season?
Angel City making it to the playoffs. There we go. Boom.
That's not a bold take. That's like, not a bold prediction. Like, that's half the league makes it to the playoffs.
I'm trying to think of one. Give me a sec. While Bridget,
do you have
you
something? I don't.
Julio, you have one. I know you should.
Yeah, what's your bold take?
Portland's gonna win the championship.
No, you have one. You shared it.
I forgot, to be completely honest.
Oh, he copy pasted from somewhere.
I know. Yeah, that's crazy. Okay, I guess I'll go first. So I think I said this for MLS, so this is gonna be like just only half of, and I don't think it's even that much of a hot take for NWSL, but I think the attendance numbers this year are gonna break like significant records compared to the last few, because I mean it's always been on the rise. Last year I think set new records across, I think that the league averaged like 10,000 per game, so I think right now we're around like 12,000 up for the first few weeks, so I think we're going to get into that 13,000-14,000 mark by the end of the season. So that's like not really that much of a hot take, because you know things are on the rise. But I will say that the new tournament that was introduced, which we didn't even talk about, the NWSL versus League MX, I think that's gonna start, and then the CONCACAF Champions, which is coming up. I don't know this year, or it's gonna be at the end of this year, I think. Yeah. I think those two particular competitions are going to start something across women's soccer, like more international. Like they're already doing it in Europe. The Champions League has been a thing there, but I think, and then the Club World Cup is going to come. I think I want to see more international. Like I want to, because there's always the talk of, is the NWSL the best league in the world? Like a lot of people say that, but is the WSL better? Like from what I've seen, it's hard to tell.
Yeah.
So I think the international competition is going to just sharpen everybody's I want to see more of it, and I think it's going to be a huge huge thing when it comes to just the future of the sport.
Yeah. I knew it was tough to do in the beginning because the leagues don't coincide like with the schedules, but before there was I think it was like the original, like what the Challenge Cup was before, but it was like they changed it or something, but it used to be the NWSL teams would play against some of the WSL teams. When I tell you, like, that was like the love of my life, when you like watch Chelsea play, Spirit.
It was called I forget what it was called.
It was
amazing. The Champions Cup or something like that.
Yeah,
something like that.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm just like, more of that. Yeah. More of that. Yeah. I want to see that. I want to see the crossover. And you're absolutely correct about Liga MX and the NWSL crossing over, because like the Mexican women's national team was so good in the Women's Gold Cup, it surprised me. I was like, I'm not paying enough attention to this team. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them play in that league. And I'm like, genuinely, if this is as good as these are their best players and they're phenomenal, I wonder what the other players are like in that league.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they deserve more eyes. So I'm super excited about that. I think the crossovers are going to be insane.
Yeah.
A lot of Mexican-American players are deciding to play in Mexico post.
Yeah.
Staying here.
Yeah, yeah. And like a big part of that is, you know, they looked at the vibes of the national team. They're like, yo, man, like, like Diana Ordonez, like, is a famous one, and we could use like a striker like that on the current team. So, I mean, we're starting to see that now. Like, you've seen it on the men's side where it's like you have these dual nationals, like, you know, highly touted, like, okay, making a decision. Now you're seeing it on the women's side. So, yeah, but I think that's something I'm super excited for, and I think it's going to become a lot of people are hyped on it and psyched, but I think it's going to be a lot bigger than what people.
And this year they have the All-Star game as well, right?
I'm not sure. They've been talking about that. They did like the skills challenge at the championship last year in San Diego. I don't know if they're going to do. I'd have to double check. But hopefully that'd be awesome if they're doing an All Star. Yeah. They should. There's no reason why not.
I'm trying to think of a bold prediction. It's probably not that bold, but one player that I've been really like excited about that's started in the league this season is Ali Setnor. From the Utah Royals, she's a rookie. I wouldn't be surprised if she hit double figures this season. Yeah, genuinely, she looks sturdy. Like she looks so good. Mm-hmm. She already has 2 goals as a rookie, you know. And I just feel like you just get a feeling with a player that she's gonna absolutely bang. And she has one of the best coaches that could teach her how to banging goals. Yeah. Just got A-Rod for a coach, you know, and A-Rod was the business when she was playing. So, yeah, I think, like, it's not that bold of a take, but I guess my, like, shout would be, like, Ali Sentinor is going to get into double figures and she's going to be the rookie of the season and all that kind of stuff. Like, I just think, like, she's nailed on for it. She's amazing. She looks great. So, yeah. What do you think?
I agree.
I concur.
I concur, doctor. You the expert.
What you said.
Hey, sometimes you just gotta agree with the correct people.
Yeah, okay. Makes sense.
Any other bold takes before you wrap up?
No, I think the crossover is exciting. I think we're gonna see more. I think for me, what I'm like noticing is I think we're gonna see more international players coming to the NWSL. I mean, we've seen Lacey Santos just signed over to Washington Spirit from and she's from Colombia. From Bay FC, we have Dana Castellanos. And then also, that's like on the Latino side, but we also have a lot of African-American players coming out and doing their thing that are even coming from, like, Europe and you know, joining NWSL and naturally just showing who they are. And I think that's what we need in NWSL so that they can kind of, like, level up in their playing game.
Yeah, Houston also just signed someone from PSG. I forget her name.
It's escaping me, but she's a very good player. Super experienced.
I did see that.
She's a Swiss international. I don't know why her name is.
It's
escaping me now.
But I mean that because I think NWSL was a very American league, and now the more kind of European, African, South American, you know, Central American players that they can come in.
It's going to be crazy.
I love it. I love to see the diversity. Feels more inclusive. And I think we're going to see way more of that. That's my bold prediction.
Yeah.
And I'm here for it.
Yeah, I agree.
Period.
Yeah. The premise of, like, the NWSL becoming an international league, I think also would do a lot for its reputation.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, as more national teams are stepping their games up too, you know, I think it's
going to be good for the
and
US.
I mean, we've already seen it with Chiwenga, we've already seen it with Oshawala and Rachel Kundinanji, and you know, all these big transfers.
Kanu, I think, from Louisville.
So
ballers,
the league stepping up, and you know, it's an exciting time for it. So we're gonna continue watching it and paying attention
and noticing.
We'll be in there.
Yeah. All right. This has been great. Yeah.
This has been exciting.
Good stuff, guys.
Yeah. All right.
Learned a lot.
Yeah.
Julio, do your homework.
Yeah.
I forgot he was even here for the first 25 minutes, bro. I was gonna say something.
I was like, he's not talking, but I feel like it's because maybe he's
shy.
I'm shy.
He's never been shy to talk. Like, you know. Okay, this has been another episode of the Urban Pitch Podcast, Beautiful Game of Life, part of the League Network. For Julio Monterosa, Jessica Black, Richard Flores, I'm Ramsey Abushala. We'll see y'all next week.
When something happens to your car, you might say,
"No! My car!"
But what you really need to say is something that can actually help.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And just like that, State Farm is there to help you file your claim right on the State Farm mobile app. So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.